In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Christmas, we have heard the story many times. Yet although we have heard it so many times, it continues to touch our hearts. For children, though, it is especially moving because they are beginning to get a sense of what it's all about for the first time. We look at the lights of Christmas, we look at the statues, and we let our imagination make it all real for us. The joy at the birth of a child, the birth of a very special child, the proclamation of this birth from the angels to the shepherds, the poverty of having to be born in a place where animals were kept and having only a bed of straw to lay on. The love of Joseph and Mary for each other and for this child who came to them and to us as nothing but a gift from God. This year, my friends, as I prepared for this Christmas homily, I came across a lengthy poem by Ogden Nash. Ogden Nash had a poem by the name of The Christmas That Almost Wasn't. The Christmas That Almost Wasn't. And Mr. Nash begins his story telling us about a peaceful kingdom ruled by a wise and gentle king. But he had a nephew who was an evil man. His name just happened to be Evelard. Evelard was an unhappy person, and he hated anyone who was happy. Most of all, he hated Christmas. And one day, he gathered some other people just as miserable as he was, and he was able to capture the king while the king was taking his nap, and he locked the king in the dungeon. Evelard and his gang took over the kingdom and worked to make everyone in it miserable. And one of the first things he did was to make a declaration. The declaration was, "There shall be no more Christmas." And Evelard decreed, "The man who cries Merry Christmas shall have his gizzard cut away. Whoever trims a Christmas tree suspended by the thumbs shall be. And he who sings a jolly carol shall be rolled on spikes inside a barrel." So spoke the rulers. and brimly smile thus to destroy one tiny child, the Christ child and his Christmas. And all the citizens were so upset that they couldn't function. And the poem goes on to say, even nature was disturbed. And I like the way that Ogden Nash described it. He described it by saying, no one knew when to work. No one yet when to play. For the sun shone by night and the moon shone by day. The mice, they had kittens. The cats, they had puppies. The lions had lambs, and the whales had guppies. The ink, it turned white. The mild, it turned black. The pig sang tweet tweet, and the cow went quack quack. The royal red roses made people to stare with their flowers in the earth and their roots in the air. The wheat was underground into the wheat at the mill, for the river turned round and flowed back up the hill. The spots of the leopard went rolling away and were captured for the marbles by urchins at play. Great fires in the town grew worse and worse. Flames put out the firemen, instead vice versa. From Heartland to mainland, from mainland to isthmus, the wind, the wide world rebelled against a world with no Christmas. I like the way, my friends, the poem tells us everything in the world was mixed up without Christmas. And that's mainly what I want to talk about. Just to complete the poem, however, Christmas was saved by a young shepherd boy with help from Saint Wenceslas. And I'm not going to give you the details of how this happened. It would be too long. You will have to find the book and to read it yourself. The lines of the poem I just read points to a world that is very mixed up if Christ had not been born. Just imagine if Christ had not been born. If we were not born, we might still be trying to serve hundreds of gods. If you were not born, we probably would be serving idols made of gold or silver or wood or stone. If you were not born, just think about it. We might still be offering people up in human sacrifice to these idols. Would we have heard of a loving God? Would we have heard of a forgiving God? Would we know that love of God and neighbor are the greatest commandments? Would we? Would we have any hope of life after this life, especially risen life? The world would be significantly different considering that over 2 billion people in the world today believe in Jesus Christ. And 2 billion, that's about 1/3 of the world's population. We must remember, as we come to celebrate this Christmas, that those who believe in Christ, you and me, we are not perfect. We all sin. We all make mistakes. The peace Christ came to bring us is not yet here. The world is still a better place, and we are better people to the extent that we live in His light. Imagine, my friends, what the world could be if all the different groups of Christians got along together with one another and lived the teachings of Jesus more seriously. I end with these words. May we continue to live in His grace as we celebrate this great feast of His love. May we look forward to enjoying His love throughout eternity. Amen.